Kathy.
Oh, hello, Linda.
I hope you're not stealing from those lockers.
No, I'm clearing out the rubbish that people have left in them.
Yes, of course you are. I didn't really think you'd want an empty bottle of conditioner.
If you come for a swim, I'll get you a key.
Oh, no, no, I've no time for a swim. I have to get all my exercise these days rushing round Ambridge enlisting volunteers to help with the village hall.
So that's what the clipboard's for. How's it going?
Well, I must say, given what an asset the village hall is, I thought people would be much more willing to step forward. Still, perhaps when they see my piece in the parish magazine...
What's it say? Your village needs you.
I think I found a call to arms that's rather more contemporary than Kitchener's. I wanted to ask Jack if he'd be prepared to let me have Higgs.
You want Higgs to work in the village hall?
Well, someone's going to have to do all the running about. Screws and tap washers. Have you any idea where Jack is?
The last time I saw him, he was going out to look for George.
Oh, I'm not surprised. We all know that gamekeepers put down poison for vermin on the slightest pretext.
I don't think Mr. Woolley thinks that George had anything...
Of course he does. Why else would he be following him round the country park?
He just said he wanted a word.
Yes, well, obviously he doesn't want to alert George's suspicions.
Linda.
When I think of what it would have done to Hermes or even a child, then it would have been murder.
What would have been murder?
Oh, Mr. Barford. What quiet footsteps you gamekeepers have.
We need to. Many's the time a poacher's been surprised to turn round and see me. Kathy, have you seen Caroline?
No.
Well, if you do see her, could you tell her I've got the number of that saddler Christine recommends?
I will. George, did Mr. Woolley find you?
Oh, he's not following me round again. I was repairing one of the pens this morning, and there he was. I nearly bashed my thumb with the hammer.
I didn't know carpentry was one of your skills, Mr. Barford.
Well, you have to turn your hand to a lot in my way of business.
You might be the very man I need on my list.
What list's that, then?
My village hall renovation list.
Oh, Linda, if you want Mr. Woolley, he's just going past the window.
Oh, good. Jack! Jack! Oh, he can't hear me. I'll have to go out. But don't worry, George. I'll tell you exactly what I want you to do this evening.
This evening?
When I pop round to update Christine on how it's all going, I just hope I can add a few more names to my list before then.
Why has she got to come round this evening? Christine and me were planning a nice little anniversary dinner. Just the two of us.
Hello, Sid.
Clary.
What you doing?
Well, I'm trying to get this run for the Peacocks finished before it gets dark.
Oh, that's what it is.
Why? What's it look like?
I expect it'll look different once you put the wire netting over it.
Yes. Look, could you just pass me that pair of pincers? I don't seem to be able to get these nails in straight.
Hang on. Oh, there you go.
My thanks.
When you getting the Peacocks?
Whenever I finish this.
William and Edward are looking forward to seeing them.
How is William?
He ain't too bad.
It must be difficult when you live on a farm, seeing the animals going off to market.
No, he understands that. No, he just got a bit more attached to Boss Man than any of the other animals. Can't think why. But then I can't think why he does half the things he does.
Yeah.
Mind you, half the time Eddie encourages him. They're like two big kids together. Oh, weird. Do you want me to hold that piece of wood so it's straight?
No. It's all right.
Good heavens, is this it?
Hello, love.
Hello, Kathy.
You're home early.
Oh, hi, Clary. I know, there was no one in the health club, and Caroline said she'd stand in for me. Sid, do you mind if I say something about that cage?
Oh, what's wrong with it?
Well, it...
He hasn't put the netting on yet.
Oh,
it's Kathy,
just that... Yeah.
You could try and be a little encouraging.
Well, he obviously worked ever so hard, love.
The sooner we get those peacocks here, the sooner they'll start bringing in the punters.
It's just that... Did you use a spirit level?
No, I couldn't find it.
Oh, Eddie's like that. He can never find the right tools to do the job proper.
Are you criticising it now, Clary?
No, well, don't suppose people will notice the cage when they're looking at the peacocks?
If anything, I was supposed to be rebuilding Windsor Castle, not making a simple cage.
It's certainly simple, Sid.
And I don't suppose the peacocks is that fussy.
Well, I should bloody well hope not.
Sorry, Tom. Why did you say Jill kept the fruit cake?
Second cupboard along. In a blue and yellow tin.
Huh? Is this the one?
That's it.
Well, I don't like to disappoint you, Tom, but I don't think there's anything in this. No.
Well, there was old cake in there yesterday.
Well, perhaps Jill took it over to the bungalow.
Well, aren't there any biscuits?
Well, can't see any.
Well, I've always got a packet of biscuits in the cupboard at Keeper's Cottage.
Oh, well, must be difficult for them during lambing, what with the baby and everything.
My whole routine's been thrown out. Everyone seems to have completely forgotten about me.
I wish Mr. Woolley would forget about me.
He's not still following you around.
Oh, ah. You think he'd have something better to do than check up on me all the time?
George, you really should go over and see Pip. She's ever so sweet.
Oh,
and noses just like David's when he was a baby.
Oh, I was just talking to Tom.
Oh, you wonder Phil and Jill are so pleased. Oh, I do envy them.
Well, our lot have got plenty of time yet.
I know, but I'd so like to be able to enjoy my grandchildren. Oh, do go and see her. Ruth would be ever so pleased.
David was saying as how Ruth was finding it rather tiring, people dropping in and out all the time.
Oh, not if George only goes over for 5 minutes.
Ah, but it never is 5 minutes.
Oh, you go over now, George, and I'll just go and say goodbye to Phil.
Aye.
Well, are you going to stay for a cup of tea?
Oh, I'm sorry, Uncle Tom. We just haven't got the time.
Seems to me no one's got time.
Look, I'll try and get over and see you during the week, Tom. If I can get away from Mr. Woolley, that is.
Don't feel you've got to come up and see me if you've got better things to do.
Of course we haven't got better things to do. Oh, here's Shula coming across the yard now.
I'll say one thing for being in here. It's a darn sight warmer than outside.
Just the same, no one else thinks so.
Yeah, well, just wait till them peacocks arrive.
Oh, here's someone now.
Hello, Clary. See?
Hello, Mrs. Snow.
What can I get you?
Oh, I haven't come for a drink.
Oh.
No, I was just passing when I noticed what had appeared in the garden.
It's the pen for the peacocks.
Yes, that's what I thought.
If you've come in to complain about them.
Sid, I ain't even got them yet.
Oh, no, I haven't come in to complain. Very far from it. No, Sid, I wanted to congratulate you.
Congratulate me? For what?
Well, a splendid job you've made of that pen.
Oh, it's very kind of you.
There wasn't anything there when I went past at lunchtime.
Oh, Sid, don't mess about when he decides to get on with summer.
Just like me. You know, I'm always amazed at the many different things people in this village can turn their hands to when needed.
Case of having to, my Eddie says.
Oh. Is Eddie good at woodwork?
He's better at bricklaying, that sort of thing.
Just let me make a note of that. Bricky's just what I'm looking for.
Oh, well, no, I don't know that he'd really have time.
Oh, I'm sure he'd have time when he sees my creed occur in the parish magazine.
Yeah, is this for the village hall?
How did you guess, Sid?
Well, people have been in here talking about it all weekend.
Oh, good. The message is obviously getting through.
A lot of people were saying they was far too busy this time of year.
I'm sure you're not far too busy, Sid.
Sid's got a pub to run.
Well, that's why I thought you'd be keen to volunteer, Sid. You must have noticed a decline in trade whilst the hall's been shut.
No, Mrs. Snow, I can't say I have.
Really? You do surprise me. But you must realise that the village hall, like the village pub, is an essential part of village life.
Yes.
Good. But I'll put you down. And Eddie. I know he doesn't like to miss out on anything that's going on.
Mrs. Snow,
I didn't go. I promised I'd take this list up to Mrs. Barford. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mrs. Snow.
What did I say?
There you are, George. Is that enough?
I wouldn't mind another potato.
Aye.
Would you like some sprouts?
Oh, yes, please.
There you go.
Ah, thanks.
I wonder if Tom's had his supper yet.
Oh, can't we just forget Uncle Tom and have a nice anniversary supper?
No, I was just wondering if we should have invited him.
Tonight?
Well, wouldn't have mattered to us.
Oh, I was rather hoping we could have a quiet evening on our own.
I was telling Tom about my problems with Mr. Woolley. He was following me around again today.
Oh, I'm sure Jack's not following you around.
No, it's all very well for you to say that.
Oh, it's probably just that Jack was at a loose end.
Look, well, the sooner he stops being at a loose end, the better. I nearly asked him today why he didn't just accuse me to my face of killing that blasted dog.
Oh, George.
Well, I'm sorry, Chris. But there are times when I'd just like to make a clean breast of it.
Mm. Did you give that number to Caroline?
Oh, yeah. She's going to take the saddle in and get an estimate for the repair.
I think she'll find it very reasonable.
Hey, you don't think we should ask Tom to come and stay here?
Oh, but we're out most of the day.
Oh, I know, but...
George, if you don't stop talking about Uncle Tom and Jack Woolley, this might be the last anniversary supper we have. Oh, now who's that?
Are you expecting anyone?
I wasn't.
Do you want me to go and let him in?
No, I'll go.
Oh, Chris, I just remembered. Linda Snell said she was going to pop round and...
Linda?
Oh, heck.
Christine,
one to see a copy of this.
Oh, come in. George, Linda's just brought us a copy of the parish magazine.
It contains a rather special announcement about the village hall.
Oh, dear, you're eating. I'm so sorry. Robert and I never have supper before 8 o'clock. Good evening, George.
Good evening.
You needn't have brought the magazine all this way.
No, but I wanted to. I wanted you to be the first person to see my Challenge Linda announcement.
Challenge Linda?
You know, like Annika Rice on television.
Oh, sorry, you've lost me.
Mm. Well, she has this programme, you see. People challenge her to get things done.
What sort of things?
Oh, things like restoring Romanian orphanages.
Oh, yes, I heard about that, but I've never seen the programme.
We don't watch much television.
Well, obviously. But I know the original DIY idea came from Kate, but I think the idea of Challenge Linda does sort of focus it.
Oh, look, there's a poem here by Kate.
She must be taken after Jennifer.
You can read that after I've gone. What I want to know is, what do you think of my Challenge Linda announcement?
I still don't know if you'll be able to get enough people to volunteer.
Well, of course I will. I shall make it a positive shame for people not to. A sort of Ambridge equivalent of being handed the white feather. I've already got Sid and Eddie lined up.
Really?
Not to mention Brian and David.
I thought they were up to their eyes at Brookfield.
Yes, well, David did try making excuses.
I'd hardly call lambing and a new baby making excuses.
I'm only asking people for an hour or so of their time. I mean, if people want to go on using the village hall, Challenge Linda is their chance to do something about it. We don't want any more accidents like the one that happened to Tom Forrest, now do we?
I would think there'd be more chance of an accident with everybody charging around the village hall, waving hammers and saws.
They won't be charging around. People will be working in well-organised teams.
And who's going to organise them?
Me, of course. I shall draw up a minute-by-minute schedule of the way in which things have to happen, starting with gutting the kitchen unit.
I wouldn't start with that.
Why not?
Because you can't do that without taking out the old sink, and you can't take out the sink without turning off the water.
Yes, well, I haven't got the fine details worked out yet, but Challenge Linda does throw down the gauntlet to everyone in the village. Oh, yes. I expect by the end of the week I shall have a list of volunteers as long as my arm.
What's in that box, Lisa?
Decaffeinated coffee.
Oh, can you just count how many packets we've got left?
Just a minute. There's another box here which says decaffeinated coffee.
Well, that one's full, isn't it?
Afraid not.
Then it's a good thing we're doing the stock taking.
There are 9 packets in the first box and there's only 4 gone from the second box.
Not one of our best-selling lines.
Can't see the point in decaffeinated. When I get in after a heavy day, all I want to do is stay awake to get all the chores done.
Doesn't Craig help you?
Not much. He's knackered too.
Bit unfair of him to expect you to do it all and look after Scott.
Oh, there isn't that much to do. Rico Cottage is easy to keep clean.
Have you heard any more about the police house?
No, we've just got to wait.
Oh, yeah. We've sold more dried fruit than I thought.
Well, people keep coming in and buying it for a simple cake.
No, I think you mean a simnel cake. It's a traditional Easter cake.
Oh, I thought it was funny, everyone making the same cake.
A lot of us do. Now all my in-laws have got Granny P's recipe.
Who's Granny P?
Tony's gran.
Oh, it's taken me ever such a long time to work out who's related to who in this village. Craig wonders why I bother. I keep telling him that if we're going to stay here, the more part he plays in village life, the better. Well, he says it isn't worth the bother.
What isn't worth the bother?
Well, have you finished the leeks?
No, but it's so muddy out there I can hardly lift my feet.
I was just telling Pat how Craig doesn't think it's worth the bother getting involved in village life.
What? Not even the cricket team.
It's not a cricket team.
I'm surprised Mark hasn't got him signed up already. Hey, hang on, Pat. Let me give you a hand with that box.
Thanks.
Look as if you could do with a hand.
Well, Lisa and I have got it all under control.
You can't go round lifting heavy boxes like that.
We can manage.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. Thought you were going to give me an excuse.
What excuse?
Not to have to lift any more leaks for a bit.
Oh, looks like we've got a customer.
Oh, hello, Linda.
Good morning, Pat. I've just called in to deliver your copy of the parish magazine.
You've come all the way up here just for that?
Ah, well, it's a very special edition.
Oh, yes?
Yes, it's got all the details of Challenge Linda. Challenge Linda to do up the village hall catering facilities.
Oh, I wouldn't mind one of those to do up the police house.
Well, if this one's successful, you never know. Now, Tony, I'm assuming you'll want to be involved on the construction side. Would you prefer building or carpentry?
Linda, we are rather up to our necks at the moment.
Oh, yes, your expansion plans.
If you've come to discuss our plans for the shop...
Sorry, Linda, we do have to get on.
Well, all I want to do is talk about challenge Linda.
How about challenging Linda to lift our leaks?
Oh, dear. Oh, well, I'll just leave the magazine here. Then perhaps when he reads my call to arms, Tony will change his mind.
We are ever so busy.
I'm busy, Lisa, but I know how to prioritize my time.
Is there a lot to be done?
Not if everyone pulls together. Lisa, I don't want to influence you in any way, but don't you think it will be an ideal opportunity for you and Craig to show what you're prepared to do for the community?
That's true, I suppose.
Good. What shall I put him down for?
I don't really know.
Well, what if I just run through my list of what needs doing and you stop me when I come to something Craig could manage?
Okay.
Right. Just let me have a look at my clipboard. The water needs turning off. The sink needs taking out. The kitchen units need gutting.
There's hardly anything wrong with those units.
Oh, well, they'd be fine for domestic use, but they don't quite measure up to the Environmental Health Officer's requirements.
What are you going to do with them when you've taken them out?
All that concerns me at the moment is getting them out, Lisa. Do you think Craig might be able to do that?
I think so. I'll ask him when he gets home. If we get the police out, those units might come in handy.
Want any more shepherd's pie, Tony?
No, it's all right. John can have it.
Thanks, Dad. Makes a change from sandwiches in Uncle Brian's barn.
Yeah. I'm amazed at Brian letting you have the time off.
Why? He's got a vested interest in me learning to drive.
So have I. But I wouldn't give you 2 hours off in the middle of the day for a driving lesson.
Well, Brian knows when I pass, he'll have another person to ferry him about.
He's got Jennifer to do that.
I'll tell your sister you said that.
Well, what else has she got to do apart from shopping and go to all her therapy?
She's got a house to run. She's got Alice to look after. She's got Kate to look after.
Oh,
she's
yeah. Well, that's a full-time job, trying to keep Kate on the rails.
Auntie Jen's really proud of her poems.
What poems?
Well, Kate's, in the parish magazine.
Kate's?
Oh, just think how pleased you'd be if Helen had her poems published in the magazine.
Well, that's different. I can just imagine what Kate's poems will be like.
Auntie Jen says they're quite good, and that she's not just saying that because Kate wrote them.
What does Brian say?
I don't know.
I'd like to read them.
I thought you wanted to finish stock-taking this afternoon.
I'm not going to sit down and read them now.
What did you think of them?
Oh, come on, Dad. Poetry's hardly my thing.
Surprised Jennifer hasn't recited them to you till you know them off by heart.
Tony, if you really want to know what they're like, why don't you read them?
Because we haven't got the parish magazine.
Yes, we have. Linda left it in the shop this morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, if she thinks we're getting involved with Challenge Linda...
Look, I better go. That's a driving instructor now.
What time will you be back?
Oh, same time as usual. Why?
One of the delivery lorries clipped the gatepost this morning. I want to get it rehung.
You going to pay me?
What? I'm about to fork out £13.50 for your driving lesson.
It's worth a try. Well, I better get a move on.
Yep, so would I. Then I might eventually get time to read Kate's poems.
Caroline, if you want to talk to me about the parish magazine, why don't we go into the study?
If that's what you want.
Then I could show you exactly what changes I made to Robin's editorial.
I know what changes you made.
Only for clarity.
You've changed the complete meaning of one paragraph.
Really?
The one where Robin was saying that increased traffic meant increased jobs.
One part-time job at the farm shop.
It didn't just mean Lisa's job.
Oh, I hadn't realised Pat and Tony were planning to take on more staff.
I don't think they are, but Robin was talking about, for example, all the jobs involved in keeping a lorry on the road.
What jobs are those?
Well, all sorts. Petrol pump attendants, truck stop chefs, customs officers.
Caroline, the parish magazine is written for this parish.
Robin knows that.
Well, I just focused his editorial. I wouldn't have had to edit it at all if it had been the right length in the first place. I think it's so important that it doesn't take up more than one page of the magazine. I want people to feel it's their magazine, just as much as Robin's.
You mean yours?
Mine.
There's an awful lot by you in it.
Caroline, I seem to remember asking you to write something for us when I first took the magazine over.
I have to admit that I have gone into some detail about Challenge Linda, but I wanted people to feel enthused about the village hall.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Mrs. Snell.
Oh, good afternoon, Lisa.
Isn't it nice since the sun's come out a bit?
Yes, the ground's still very wet. I've had to give up trying to plant my broad beans.
Well, I better be on my way.
What have you put your name down for?
Sorry?
I think Lisa means for Challenge Linda.
Oh, I haven't. DIY is not really my line. Now, I'd better get back to Grey Gables.
You'd think she'd want to do something, seeing how she and the vicar...
No, I'm afraid not. Though she seems only too happy to interfere over other matters.
Well, Craig and me, we'd like to do our bit.
Oh, Lisa, how splendid.
Craig doesn't mind what he does, as long as there's someone to tell him.
There's no need for him to worry on that score. I shall be around all the time, making sure things get done.
And I'll do what I can, but I have got Scott to think about.
Well, why don't we go in and have a look at my list?
Oh, I can't stop. Craig's round the front with the car, and Scott will need his tea soon. Anyway, you're gardening.
What does my garden matter compared to the village hall?
I don't think there's many people would think the same.
No, but I've thrown down the gauntlet, and it's for me to see us taken up.
We're going to have to get some oil on that.
Just let's get the gate hanging right first.
Why didn't the driver give himself room to swing out?
He was trying to avoid the pothole.
I'm going to have to do something about this drive if we start getting a lot of traffic down it.
Now, don't you start on about increased traffic.
Well, it would be easier to sort out the pothole than keep on having to re-hang this gate.
Tony!
Don't look now, but I think your mum's about to give us a reading of Kate's poems.
Have you seen this?
Mum, we're trying to get this finished before dark.
Oh, never mind that. This is important.
Now, calm down, Pat.
Have you read what's been written in here about our expansion plans?
In the parish magazine?
Yes, look!
Hmm. Well, who wrote it?
Doesn't say who wrote it.
It's obvious who wrote it.
Who?
Linda Snell. She's written everything else apart from Kate's poems. And this editorial by Robin.
Yeah, well, read that.
Well, Robin can't have said anything about the shop.
Oh, can't he?
I thought he wasn't supposed to take sides.
He was the person who offered to put a tradecraft catalogue at the back of the church.
I don't believe this.
Well, it's down there in black and white, and by now it's probably been read by half the village.
What can be seen as the insidious growth of farm diversification...
What's insidious?
It means devious and underhand.
How does he expect us to make a living? Just wait till I see him.
Oh, I tried to phone him. He wasn't in.
Yeah, well, I hope you left a blistering message on his answer phone.
It wasn't on.
Yeah, well, of course not. The man's a coward. I'll tell you what we should do. Put a petition in the farm shop and get every satisfied customer to... What's he doing here?
Oh, good evening.
Robin Stokes, I've got a word with you.
Pardon?
You write an article condemning our plans to expand the farm shop, then you have the nerve to turn up to use it.
Tony, I think I know what this is about.
Yeah, I'm sure you know what it's about.
Robin, everything we're planning to do here is totally legal and above board.
I know that.
We've got to eat, you know.
Oh, if this is about my editorial...
Do you realise how much influence you have in this village?
Yes, Pat, I do.
Then how could you write something like this in the parish magazine? Applying for planning permission is hardly insidious expansion.
The word I used was invidious.
Oh, well, I might be able to believe it was a typing error if it wasn't for the rest of the article.
I thought you supported the farm shop.
Oh, I do.
Pull the other one.
Tony, I came to apologize.
Oh, what's the point in apologizing? The damage is done.
I want you to read this.
What is it?
It's my editorial for the magazine.
Oh, don't worry, we've already read it.
No, you've read the version that's been edited by Linda Snell. I think you'll find the original version rather different.
Oh, yeah?
It may only be a word here and a comma there, but believe me, it is.
What does it say there?
Doesn't seem at all different.
I think if you compare the two versions...
Hmm? Ah, yeah, I see what you mean. She's taken out the word small before increases in traffic.
Robin, you must know that Linda Snell...
She was round here this morning trying to sign me up for her Challenge Linda.
Yeah, I realise I should have checked the magazine before it went to press, but I had no idea Linda would edit my piece in the way she has.
She altered it so it would agree with her anonymous letter announcing the probable closure of the village shop.
Well, we don't know she wrote that.
It's obvious she wrote it.
Linda's not the only person who's worried about your expansion plans, Tony. It's no good getting angry. You've got to go in for some rigorous persuasion.
David? Ruth? Are you awake?
Who's that?
Ruth, it's me, Jill.
What's the matter?
Phil needs David in the lambing shed.
Oh, no.
He says he can't manage without him.
I've been up all night with the baby.
I'm sorry. You've got to wake David.
But he's even sleeping in the spare room to try and catch up on his sleep.
I offered to help, but Phil's insisting he needs David.
Can't you phone Bert and ask him to come in?
Who?
I'm here.
What's going on? Mum, what are you doing here?
David, I told her. She's got to get someone else.
I am sorry.
What's up?
Your dad wanted to help with the lambing.
Mum, I've got to get some sleep.
He says it's an emergency.
Oh. All right.
You're not going.
Oh, Dad's not one to panic.
David, what use do you think you're going to be in this
state? I know David's tired. I know it's difficult with a new baby, but it is the middle of lambing.
Oh, suppose you think we should have had Pip at a more convenient time.
Of course, I'm not saying that. But your dad needs help.
Yes, all right, I get the message.
Now, listen.
Oh.
It's all right, Pip. Mummy's coming.
Now, look what you've done.
Sorry.
Tell Dad I'll get dressed. I'll be right over.
Thanks.
Mum, will you do me a favour?
Anything.
Can you bring me over some strong coffee and a bacon sandwich?
I'll do that. Then I'll come back and help Ruth with the baby.
I'll take care of the rest of the milking, if you like, David.
It's all right, Dad. But thanks.
No, thank you. We'd have lost that ewe if you hadn't turned up when you did.
Same about the lambs.
Oh, well, can't be helped.
Sanctuary, sanctuary.
Elizabeth, whatever's the matter?
Uncle Tom.
What's he done?
Oh, well, first of all, he had been making a cup of tea at the crack of dawn, and now he's complaining because there's no bacon.
Well, we had to have something to keep us going.
I've offered to make him toast, but that's not what he calls a proper breakfast, and now we've run out of milk. I think that he's practically ready to sue us for maltreating him.
I think you're being a bit hard on him.
Dad, I've had him going on at me since 4:45.
Is Mum still over at the bungalow?
Yes.
I'm sorry you've got left with Uncle Tom.
Oh, it's all right. I'm going to have to go to work in half an hour.
Things must be pretty bad if you're going to go to work early to avoid it.
I was going in early anyway. Sid's coming to collect his peacocks at 9:00.
Where's he going to put them?
He's built a pen for them.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it is a bit like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but I think it'll keep out the foxes. Oh, Mum, it's all right. I'm just getting the milk.
No, this is for Ruth.
How's Pip?
When I left, she was sound asleep.
Oh, good.
I wonder how long that'll last.
So, I'm going to make Ruth a nice milky drink to help her go back to sleep.
Has everyone run out of milk this morning?
Looks like it.
Morning, Lisa. Morning, Mrs. Archer. Mr. Archer.
I hope that jug's clean.
Of course it's clean.
Outside as well as in?
Yeah. Mr. Archer explained to me all about not contaminating the milk, and I don't do it very often.
Well, it only has to be contaminated once.
Lisa knows that, dear.
Yeah, we've got enough on our plate at the moment.
You're not still having trouble with the baby?
David had a bit of a disturbed night.
Not to mention a disturbed morning.
Join the club.
It was an emergency.
There'll be another emergency if you don't move out the way and let me get on with the milking.
David, don't speak to your mother like that.
Dad, I'm trying to get on.
Look, I know you haven't had much sleep, but there's no need to be rude.
I wasn't being rude. It
took me ever such a long time to get Scott to self after I took him home from the hospital.
Don't look now, but here comes the walking wounded.
Oh. Uncle Tom, what are you doing here?
I've come to see where Elizabeth had got to.
Oh, Uncle Tom, you shouldn't be crossing the yard on those crutches.
My tea was going cold.
I was just coming.
Is it all right for me to get some milk then?
Oh, go on.
Will you fill this up for me while you're there.
Oh, and this.
Okay. Back in a tick.
Don't be silly, Elizabeth. How is that girl going to carry 3 jugs full of milk?
I'd better go and give her a hand then, hadn't I? Well,
she got out of bed the wrong side this morning.
Come on, Uncle Tom. Let's get you back to the house.
I thought you were going back to the bungalow.
I'll just get Uncle Tom home first.
I don't mind staying here and having a bit of a chat with Phil and David.
Well, I was just going back to the barn.
And I want to get finished.
I haven't even had my breakfast yet, you know.
I thought Elizabeth was looking after you.
Do you know what she offered me? A piece of toast.
I don't want to rush you, Uncle Tom, but I do need to get on.
Well, I told my always had to cook breakfast.
We're all very busy.
Well, why don't you just tell me to make other arrangements?
You don't need to make other arrangements.
Well, I had to ask Bert to make me a cup of tea yesterday.
I'm sure he was very happy to.
I shouldn't have to take him away from his work.
Look, you'll just have to be patient until after lambing. Then everything will settle down again.
I don't think my innards will ever settle down. They keeps getting the wrong food at the wrong time.
I'm sorry about yesterday's supper, but Pat really needed to talk.
Are they having that open day?
Yes, next Thursday.
Like an open day here. Excuse me.
Here's your milk, Mrs. Archer.
Oh, thank you, dear. Could you do me another favour? Could you drop it in for Ruth while I get Mr. Forrest back into the house?
Oh, don't you worry about me, Jill. I suppose if I falls over in the yard, somebody might find me afore dark.
That's it. There you are.
Is she asleep?
I think so.
Aren't you going to take the bottle out?
Not for a minute or two.
Wait till I know she's really asleep.
Do you think she was crying just because she was hungry?
Could be. Certainly got through that bottle quickly.
Had her on the breast for 2 hours this morning.
Was she sucking?
Not all the time. I don't know what David's going to say when he knows we gave her a bottle.
Who cares what he says, so long as she's asleep?
I know, but he's so... so into it all. He'd be the one breastfeeding if he could.
It's only because she needed topping up a bit. Greedy little thing.
She must get it from her dad.
Then he can't blame you if you have to give her a bottle now and again.
But breastfeeding's so much better.
This isn't instead of the breastfeeding.
It is lovely to have a bit of peace.
Right, now let's try and get the bottle out. Sometimes I used to think Scott was asleep, but the moment I took the bottle away... Ah, there we go. Sound asleep.
I wish I was.
Well, why don't you go to bed?
I've got the washing to do, David.
I did all that.
Haven't you got to go to work?
Not till later. And after yesterday, it's a good thing. It'll give Pat and Tony a chance to calm down a bit.
But Jill said they weren't very pleased with Linda Snell.
And I daren't tell them that Craig's going to help with the village hall.
Linda Snell can be a bit... Oh, I'm too tired to think about Linda Snell.
Can I give you a bit of advice?
If it's as good as the bottle.
You sleep when the baby sleeps. It's much better for her to have a relaxed mum than 25 clean baby grows.
But
go to bed.
Anybody would think you were my mother.
Well, someone's got to tell you. And while you're asleep, I'll put in the washing and have a run round with a vacuum cleaner.
I'm sure I should.
Another bit of advice.
Don't turn down help when it's offered.
Yeah, because I tell you, everyone gets sick of offering once the novelty wears off.
There's my baby. There's Daddy's girl.
Hi, David.
Elizabeth, what are you doing here?
I'm meals on legs. Mum sent you over some supper. She told me not to knock in case I woke anyone up.
Oh. Ruth's asleep now. But she had a pretty good day, actually.
Makes a change.
Yeah. Seems that one of the reasons Pip's been crying is because she's hungry.
Mm. Who discovered that?
Lisa, apparently. So they gave Pip a bottle this morning. Made all the difference, didn't it?
I bet you're thankful.
Mm. Yeah, in a way, but Ruth's a bit disappointed about not being able to produce enough milk.
It's not Ruth's fault if Pip's got an appetite like yours. Are you hungry?
Oh, I think I'm too tired to eat.
What, not some of Mum's chicken and mushroom pie?
That what's in the basket?
Mm-hmm. One portion of chicken and mushroom pie and one portion of apricot crumble and it's all hot.
Oh, does smell great.
I'll hold Pip so you can eat it.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You make sure you hold her head, okay?
She's not going to be sick on me or anything, is she?
She's half asleep, and I've just done a very runny nappy.
Oh, David, do you have to?
I'd have waited for you to do it if I'd known you were coming over.
Thanks. She's not bad when she's not crying, is she?
Coward.
I do wish she'd open her eyes and look at me.
Don't you dare wake her up.
She's more interesting when she's awake.
Careful, she's got a foot sticking up.
Oh, right, all right.
Don't want her to get cold.
She's not going to get cold, are you?
Elizabeth, are you sure you're all right?
David, I'm fine. Mm. I'm sleeping in the spare room again tonight.
Yeah. If I don't go to sleep where I am.
Do you know what one of the problems of being the youngest is? When everybody's talking about who she looks like in the family, I don't know what the rest of you look like. You remember what I looked like when I was a baby? David? David? Has your daddy gone to sleep? Has he? He is a tired daddy. Oh, shh, now don't wake daddy. I know I'll sing to you. You know, you're much better now. You're not crying all the time, aren't you? What shall I sing? Granddad Archer had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some lambs. E-I-E-I-O. With the... Oh, Mum, I didn't hear you come in.
I didn't want to wake Ruth. David obviously liked my pie.
I think he was just too tired to eat it.
Never mind.
What have you got there?
The Parish Magazine. I thought Ruth might like to read Kate's poems.
You know, I was quite surprised. I thought they'd be terrible.
Jennifer's ever so proud.
Well, it's a good thing they aren't by Pip.
What?
Well, could you imagine what David would be like?
He is besotted with her, isn't he?
He's hardly like David at all.
Elizabeth, I know this must be hard for you.
Not anymore.
Honestly?
Mum, I've got a lot of regrets. But I still think I did the right thing.
Do you?
Yes, Mum. And I know it hurt you and Dad and Shula. But it hurt me too.
We all make mistakes.
It wasn't a mistake.
I know, but...
Look, Mum, I don't want sympathy. I don't need it anymore. You know, this is my life and I'm getting on with it. And I'm going to try and set Pip the best example I can.
Kate, do you want a cup of coffee?
No, thanks, Mum.
Well, I'm just going to take this out to Uncle Tom and Cyril. Oh, Brian.
Oh, is that my coffee? Good, I'll have it here.
It's not yours.
Whose is it, then?
It's for Cyril and Uncle Tom, but I'm sure there's another cup in the pot.
Uncle Tom? Is that why Cyril's car's in the yard?
Yes. Ruth brought him over this morning. Apparently he was feeling a bit neglected at Brookfield.
Oh. No one's got time for me.
Oh, I'm not surprised with lambing and a new baby.
Here you are, Brian. Afraid there's only two-thirds of a cup.
Oh, that's all right.
Hey, don't find out why Pip wasn't sleeping.
Really?
Yes. She wasn't getting enough to eat. Mm. Actually, it was Lisa who suggested Ruth gave her a bottle.
Amazing.
Ruth said she and David had a really good night's sleep last night. I'll just take this flask to Cyril.
Have you got the sugar beet planted yet?
Of course I haven't. Only just into March.
Is the ground still too wet?
I certainly couldn't get a seed bed at the moment.
What happens if you don't get it planted?
This family starves.
Things aren't going very well, are they? What with the riding and the fishing lake?
Kate, darling, I don't want to discourage you, but why this sudden interest in the farm? What are you doing at home, anyway?
Mum and I are going to therapy.
Oh. Pass me the Parish Magazine.
Are you going to read it?
Of course I'm not going to read it. I'm going to put my coffee cup on it so it doesn't mark the table.
I can get you a map.
Yeah, this'll do. About all it's good for, after all.
There's some quite interesting things in it.
You mean Linda Snell rubbishing the farm shop? If I was Pat and Tony, I'd sue.
The letter about the farm shop's anonymous.
In other words, Linda wrote it herself.
How do you know?
Well, who else would bother to write for the Village Magazine?
Some people.
Kate, if we're going to therapy, we'd better get a move on.
It's a pleasure.
Well, what's gotten to her? We were actually talking just now. She was asking about the sugar beet, of all things.
Well, that's progress, isn't it? What with that and her poems in the magazine.
Oh, my God, her poems. I'd forgotten.
William, you don't want to get them in the net like that.
Why not?
Because you've got to pull it slow and steady, like I showed you last week.
We're never going to catch anything.
Well, really, if you're a bit more patient... Now throw it in again. Now this time, take your time.
Did you used to do this with Grandad?
Yeah. It would have been a darn sight easier if this fishing lake had been here then. That's it. You're getting the hang of it now.
Can you see any fish?
Keep your voice down, will you?
What's Mum going to say when we catch some?
She's not going to know.
She'll smell them when they're cooking.
Not if you cook them and she's gone to the ball.
She'll still smell them.
If we spray round some of her air freshener, she won't. Right now. Very steady. Over the net.
It's huge. Bigger than the one we caught last week.
You grab the net and bring it up under it. That's it.
Hey! What do you think you're doing?
Quick, it's Brian Aldridge. Run!
What about the net?
Just drop it. Come on, run!
Hey!
Oh, blimey. I'm getting too old for this. Oh, I think we've given him the slip, William. William?
Let go of me. I'll tell the police.
You'll tell the police? I like that. I catch you poaching, net in hand, and you're the one who's going to tell the police?
Let go of me.
You're coming straight up to the farmhouse with me, young man.
Dad! Dad!
I thought it was you when I came up here last week.
I wasn't here last week.
Oh, no?
Look in the net, Mr. Aldridge. We haven't caught anything.
That doesn't stop it being poaching.
That was just teaching me how to fish.
And he just happened to choose my fishing lake. How convenient. Are you going to walk up to the Range Rover? Am I going to have to carry you?
Lady Grundy, how could you? How could you run off and leave him there?
I told him to come.
You abandoned him.
I thought he'd come home another way.
Well, he ain't here, is he?
Brian Aldridge must have got him. Creeping up on us like that.
He wouldn't have had to creep up on you if you hadn't have been poaching in the first place. Eddie, you promised me this morning. All that stuff about making fishing flies and where was my black cotton.
That's what we were going to do.
You never. You got it all planned.
You begged me.
You knew I'd be hours trying to find a pair of shoes to fit Edward that he liked, and you thought you'd get away with it. How you thought you were going to disguise the fish when you'd got them, that's what I'd like to know.
Well, we didn't get them, did we?
Come on then, Eddie.
Where are you going?
Well, where do you think I'm going to get William?
What?
I ain't leaving him at home farm with Brian Aldridge.
Couldn't you go on your own?
You coward, Eddie Grundy.
Clary.
Now, look, you're the one that's in the wrong. You're the one that was teaching William to poach.
You weren't poaching. We were fishing.
Well, I hope you can explain to Brian Aldridge why you was fishing on his lake out of season.
You ought to thank me for doing him a favour.
How'd you make that out?
Oh, I've showed him how useless that old fishing bloke of his is.
Oh, well, you can tell him that and all.
Clary.
How do you think William's going to feel when he realises you wouldn't even stand by him a day?
He should have run when I told him.
You shouldn't have taken him up home for him in the first place.
Brian Aldridge's got a nerve when you think what Kate did to William.
I don't know that.
So it stands to reason you won't be that hard on William now.
How many other times have you taken trout from my lake?
Once.
Once? I'm supposed to believe that, am I?
Brian, I'm sure William's telling the truth.
I am telling the truth.
Yeah, but up at the lake just now, you told me you weren't here last week.
I forgot.
You forgot?
Yeah.
Oh, look, it would help if you did tell the truth.
And how many fish did you catch last week?
Not many.
Well, what's not many?
Well, I don't know. They were quite big. I nearly caught a massive one today.
If I hadn't arrived.
Kate!
William, what are you doing here?
He's been stealing from our lake.
Why wasn't Cyril there?
Because he's sitting gossiping with Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom was helping
him. I'll deal with Cyril once I've dealt with this young man.
It's my dad's car. And Mum's there. I'm sorry, Mr. Aldridge. I really am.
Yes, well, anyone can be sorry once they've been caught red-handed.
I think he really is.
What do you know about being sorry?
Brian, I think Kate knows quite a lot about it.
Did your dad take you poaching? He was only trying to cheer me up.
What was he cheering you up for?
Because Bossman had to go to the market.
Can we come in?
Mrs. Aldridge, I'm so sorry about all this.
Come in, Clary.
Well, am I all right?
Of course he's all right.
I'm fine, Mum.
Well, now you're here, Eddie, perhaps you'd like to explain what you were doing up at my fishing lake.
Well, I was taking William for a walk.
Oh, come on, Eddie. I caught him with a net in his hand.
Aye. It's just a net. We found it. We thought someone was going to be wanting it back, didn't we, William?
Eddie, it's bad enough without you expecting William to tell lies as well.
Oh, I'm glad you're prepared to be reasonable, Clary.
What a shame you can't bring your son up to be the same.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you should know. You were the one who was teaching him to poach.
I was just teaching him a few country ways. It's a time-honoured country pastime.
So time-honoured that if I'd caught him 200 years ago, he could have been hung.
Hung? Oh, don't, Dad. You're frightening him.
Chance will be a fine thing.
He's shivering.
Well, perhaps that means he won't do it again.
If you want to put him on trial, why don't you phone the police?
Please don't call the police, Mr. Aldridge.
I'd be within my rights to call the police.
You wouldn't, though, would you, Mr. Aldridge?
Of course he wouldn't.
Oh, Eddie, you're not making this any better.
Don't make him cross, Dad.
I can assure you, young man, I'm a lot more than cross.
Please, Mr. Aldridge.
William, do you want to sit down?
Yes, please, Kate.
Why don't you sit down too, Dad?
Oh, why don't we all sit down and have a nice cosy cup of tea?
Oh, I wouldn't mind a cup of tea on Berishta. I bet William could do with a bit of a warm
tea.
Eddie, I don't think you quite appreciate the seriousness of the situation.
If you want to talk about a serious situation, let's talk about your daughter shutting up my son for the night.
Eddie, that's over and done with now.
I don't want to talk about Blossom Hill Cottage. Kate said sorry to me.
Did you?
Yes, she did. But I don't want to talk about it.
You know why he doesn't want to talk about it? Because of the trauma. It could be damaged for life.
And I suppose that's why he's taken up poaching, is it?
He said he didn't want to talk about it.
Kate, I know this ain't quite the place to say this, but I did think your poems in the Parish Magazine was ever so good.
Well, what do you say, Kate?
Some of those things you said, I could see them right in front of me. Like some of the things Rock Voisin sings.
Perhaps I'll set some of them to music for you.
Oh, don't be stupid, Eddie, and you ain't even read them.
That's all right. Dad hasn't read them either.
Only because I haven't had a moment.
You should read them, Mr. Aldridge. Ever so many people have said to me in the bull how good they thought they was.
Do you hear that, darling?
Brenda Tucker said she was going to start writing poems, did she?
Hey, well, William, you could have a try.
Poetry's girl stuff.
Oh,
I know you think I'm only saying this, because I'm Kate's mother, but
I do think she's exceptionally talented.
Mum!
Don't you, darling?
Well...
He can't think anything. He won't even read them. I thought he was going to read them this morning, but he just wanted the magazine to put his coffee cup on.
Oh, Brian.
Well, why didn't she tell me she wanted me to read her poems?
You'd only have made fun of them.
Clary thinks they're lovely, and Clary's got ever such good taste, apart from Rock Vazine.
Where is the ruddy magazine?
Under your arm. They're on page 9 and 13.
That's your mum knowing what pages they're on.
Brian, I don't think we need to say any more to William and Eddie, do we?
I promise it won't happen again.
How do I know that?
Because I won't let it. Mr. Aldridge, I would be ever so grateful if I could get back and give William his tea before I go down the bowl.
What am I having?
Fish fingers and mash.
As long as they're not trout fish fingers.
No, it's not. They come in a packet from the freezer shop.
Oh, Eddie, why can't you just leave it alone?
Leave my fishing leg alone as well in future. Because if I catch you once more...
You won't, Mr. Aldridge, I promise.
Well, I expect you to keep that promise. Now, you better get home and have your tea.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Aldridge. You won't have no more trouble, I promise. Will you thank Mr. Aldridge?
Thank you, Mr. Aldridge.
You know what they say, finders keepers. So you won't mind if we take this net, will you?
You've got a nerve, Eddie Goody. Come on, you two. In the car.
Bye, William.
Bye, Kate.
See you.
I hope not.
Poor William. I think you really frightened him.
He thinks he's a big boy, but he's a little kid, really.
Kate, hey, did you really write these poems?
Yes.
Were they really all your own work?
Well, of course they're all her own work.
I know your teacher said your English was coming on.
She hasn't seen them.
Well, then she should. If you don't take a copy into the school, I'll do it for you. So she can see just how proud of you I am.
Oh, Caroline, I'm sorry to trouble you again, but now this light's come on.
Hang on, Mrs. Woody, let me have a look.
Oh, I never had much luck with photocopying, even when I was in the estate office.
Need some more toner.
Oh, dear. I did so want to finish photocopying Kate's poems before the bishop and his wife arrived.
Well, how many more have you got to do?
Only about 6. I don't send many people Easter cards. I just thought it'd be so nice to send them copies of Kate's poem as well.
Oh, it'll do another 6.
Will it?
No problem. Just press the print button again.
Oh, thank you. Have you seen Kate's poem?
Oh, yes. I've been reading the parish magazine.
Oh, don't talk to me about the parish magazine. When I think of what Linda Snell had the nerve to write about Pat and Tony's shop, and then to pretend it was an anonymous letter.
But it is an anonymous letter.
Would anyone else, apart from Linda Snell, talk about hundreds of unnecessary hedgehog fatalities?
I suppose you do have a point.
She didn't even give Pat and Tony a chance to put their side of the story. Ah, here we are. That stays done.
I thought Pat and Tony were having an open day.
Well, they are, but only because they've been forced into it by what's appeared in the magazine. I'm just glad that Robin's prepared to throw his weight behind them.
He does feel very bad about what happened to his editorial.
That woman is not fit to edit a parish magazine.
She did put in Kate's poetry.
Well, I should think so. I'm so glad that Kate's got some of Jennifer's creative streak. Oh, I know it can cause difficulty at times, but let's hope that's all in the past. Do you think if I send copies of her poems to Con, they'll get there in time for Easter?
Yes, if you send them airmail.
Wonder if I've got time to get down to the post office before the bishop arrives.
I think you'd be pushing it.
Well, as long as I get them in the post this afternoon. Oh, Jack.
Oh, Peggy. I didn't think you were going to be here till 12:30.
I thought I'd come up early and photocopy Kate's poems.
Well, I hope you've done one for Cyril and his wife.
What on earth does Cyril want one for?
Cyril Hood.
Oh, the bishop. I thought you meant Fishing Lake Cyril.
Mr. Woolley, would you mind if I went and got changed?
Changed? Oh, Caroline, I thought you were changed already.
Well, so did I.
I thought I'd put on something a bit more, well, you know.
Well, you look very smart to me already, Caroline, but please yourself, of course. Oh, have you any idea where George is?
No, he's probably out in the country park somewhere.
Trouble is, the country park's so big it's like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Did you want him for something in particular?
No, not really. Just wanted to warn him that Eddie was up to his old tricks again. And what's more, he's teaching William.
Oh, I'm surprised William needs to be taught. I thought poaching was bred into the Grundys.
It is sad when it turns out like father, like son. But I gather Brian gave William quite a ticking off for poaching from his lake yesterday.
I'm sure he did. Now, I must go and get ready.
Oh, Robin does know to be here for 12:30.
Yes, I phoned him first thing this morning.
Right.
I'll see you later.
Ah, I don't know why she thinks she needs to get changed. That dress is lovely.
Sid, I'm sure they just need time to settle down. You see, the peacocks are territorial, and they have been moved. No, no, that's fine. No, no, you can ring me any time. Thanks. Bye.
I don't believe it. That's the third time today.
I'm just glad that Sid wants to look after them properly.
Look after them properly? I'm surprised he hasn't wrapped them up in cotton wool. You know, he's worse about those birds than David is about Pip.
I did offer to give him advice.
Well, before Sid rings up with yet another question on peacock husbandry, could we just concentrate on Easter Monday?
Lizzie, look, I don't see that the catering is our responsibility. I mean, when we buy in a firm to run an outside event, we should be able to rely on them.
Well, that means this lot will go with Davis catering.
Well, let them.
Yeah, and then the punters hate the catering and think it's our fault. It's not that easy, Nigel. Also, they want an Easter egg hunt.
Where are you suggesting?
Well, what about that bit of wood on the back road?
Gosh, you could really hide them in there.
I know. People would really have to hunt, and then there wouldn't be a parking problem.
Okay, then. That's a good idea.
Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you. Shula says the estate's been sold.
Really?
As good as. They've just got to agree a price for the live and dead stock.
Oh, it's somebody who's going to farm it himself, then.
Looks like it.
What else do you know?
He's a very presentable widower. Late 50s, early 60s is Shula's estimate.
Good.
What do you mean, good?
I mean, it needs someone reliable after Cameron Fraser.
Shula says the money doesn't seem to be a problem.
Oh, I must tell Mummy.
If he's got money, I suppose she would be interested.
Not because of that. No. Mercedes Goodman was asking her if it had been sold the other day.
But it is a thought, isn't it?
What, Mummy and the new estate owner?
Mummy and the rich new estate owner. Then again, if he knew about your mother, it probably put him off buying the estate.
Lizzie.
Sorry, Nigel, joke.
I don't think Mummy's interested in marrying again.
Well, I hope not, for your sake. You could end up getting kicked out by your stepfather.
Lizzie.
Can I come in?
Nelson, what are you doing here?
Looking for Julia.
Oh, she's gone into Borchester.
Not to the antique shop.
I don't think so.
No, I feared as much.
Were you expecting her?
No, but what I have been expecting for some time is the return of a small diamond brooch I lent her before Christmas.
She still hasn't given it back?
No, I'm afraid not.
I thought she was going to give it back last week.
Oh, really?
The Mercedes Goodman had made some remarks about it being paste.
How very interesting.
I bet Julia was furious about that.
But obviously not furious enough to return it.
Would you like me to have a word with Mummy about it when she gets back?
Would you mind, dear boy? It's just that I've received an offer for it.
How could anybody make you an offer when it wasn't in the shop?
Because the offer has been made by Sir Sidney Goodman. And if I don't get that brooch back very soon, I'm going to miss my chance of a sale.
Oh, Nigel wouldn't want that.
Of course I wouldn't. Look, Nelson, I'll have a word with Mummy.
Let us hope you'll be at your most persuasive.
Well, if I'm not, well, then I suppose I'll just have to buy it for her birthday.
How very generous of you.
Nelson, do you really think I'd let an old friend like you end up out of pocket?
Jack, it's very kind of your chef to offer to teach my wife to bone poultry.
I think Jean-Paul was only too happy to oblige you, Cyril.
He does like it when people ask his advice, doesn't he, Caroline?
Yes, Mrs. Woolley.
Well, it's a shame she had to miss this stroll.
Oh, she's welcome. You're both welcome to come and stroll around the country park whenever you like.
I think I'd rather encourage her to spend her time in your kitchen.
Isn't that a bit...
Sorry, Caroline?
Oh, it's all right. I didn't say anything.
You did, Caroline.
Please, don't worry about
it. I think I was about to be upbraided for wanting to keep my wife in the kitchen.
Oh, no, I'm sure she does lots of other things.
I've never been able to see anything wrong in wanting to be a wife and mother.
Well, Peggy, I'm not so sure Jane would agree with you.
I think it's such a shame when women want to go around being like men all the time. And now this business of women being ordained...
I take it you're not in favour, Peggy.
Of course I'm not.
Well, I accept your point of view, but I have to say I disagree.
Are you in favour of women priests?
I am now.
You didn't vote for it?
Yes, I did.
But it's just bowing to a fad.
If only I'd found it as easy as that.
You mean you changed your mind?
I did, but only after much heart-searching and a great deal of prayer. Unlike my wife, I wasn't in favour from the beginning. We had some pretty heated debates on the subject, I can tell you.
I hadn't realized Jane was such a staunch supporter.
The thing that really made me change my mind was our visit to America a couple of years ago. The effort and dedication of some of the women priests I met there. They knocked my socks off. And they're pretty strong on their theology, too.
But there's far more to being a priest than just dashing around doing good work, surely.
Of course. And believe me, Peggy, these women had it. When we got back, I took a really good look at the work some of the women deacons are doing in my own diocese. Has Robin introduced you to any of them, Caroline?
No, he hasn't.
Why not?
I didn't think Caroline would be interested.
I'm sure she'd find them a lot more interesting than she finds me.
Oh, that's not true.
But why can't they just stick to being deacons?
Because God has called some of them to the priestly ministry.
Well, I'm just glad that you married me and Jack. If we'd been married by a woman, it would have been just like going to the registry office. Now, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll get back to the kitchen and see how Jane's getting on.
Could you remind her that we have to leave by 3?
Yes, I will. Oh, Mr. Willie, look, there's George.
Oh, yes. Oh, look, would you all excuse me? I've been trying to have a word with my gamekeeper all day. Caroline, will you look after our guests?
Yes, of course.
All right, see you later. George, George, can I have a word?
Oh, dear, was I being terribly boring?
You weren't being boring at all, was he, Robin?
I think people like Jack and Peggy find it difficult to accept change.
We all find it difficult to accept change. It's a very frightening process, but we can't use that as a reason for not changing, can we, Caroline? Thanks again, Caroline. We really enjoyed it.
So did I.
And make sure you get Robbie to introduce you to some of the women I was talking about.
All right.
And if you don't fancy our own brand, you could always try the Methodists or the Baptists.
Bishop, you forget you're talking to a very busy woman.
I hope you're not going to let Robin monopolize all your free time.
Oh, don't worry, I won't.
Expect I'll see you soon, Robin.
I'll see you at the Diocesan Prayer Day.
Of course you will. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Well,
I'm impressed.
Not so much impressed as, should we say surprised?
Oh, I told you you didn't need to worry.
Oh, there were some sticky bits.
You mean when Trudy brought in the wine in the middle of grit?
I could see it was going to happen. I kept trying to catch her eye to tell her to go away.
Oh, I didn't notice.
No, neither did Trudy.
Caroline, can I ask you something personal?
What?
Well, why did you decide to dress like that?
What's wrong with it?
Well, I know you sometimes complain that I don't notice the way you dress, but... Well, today you do look decidedly...
Decidedly what?
Well, frumpish.
Frumpish?
Well, just not as fashionable as you usually look.
Oh, I don't know why I dress like this. I was going to go to the other extreme and wear something very loud.
Why?
I just didn't know what to do.
But you've met bishops before.
Yes, but this was different.
Because he was my boss?
Yes. But I did enjoy our walk down the country park.
Good. Would you like to come for another one?
When?
Well, now. I promised Pat and Tony I'd go and deliver some of their open day invitations.
Oh, gosh, they have got you paying a price.
I'm not paying a price.
Yes, you are. You're paying for the way Linda Snell altered your editorial.
Well, perhaps. In a way.
Then Linda Snell ought to be going around with the leaflet.
No, she's too busy going around drumming up support for Challenge Linda.
Oh, you know, half the village shivers in dread at the very mention of the word.
Well, as long as the other half have agreed to volunteer, I don't mind. I know you told the bishop you weren't going to let me monopolize all your free time, but please, will you come with me?
Why?
Because I've just spent 3 hours sharing you with the bishop, his wife, and the Woolies, and I'd just like to stroll around Ambridge holding your hand.
Isn't it going to be a bit difficult holding my hand and putting leaflets through doors at the same time?
Well, I'm sure it's a difficulty that can be overcome.
Come on, then. Race you to the band.
What?
This skirt may be frumpish, but at least I can run in it.
Caroline, wait for me.